Our second reading this week is one of my favourite passages, although I don't think the word favourite quite does it justice. When I hear the word favourite, I immediately think of Julie Andrews singing about her favourite things, whiskers on kittens and so on. This passage is in a different league. It gets to the heart of what being a believer is all about. It's a life-changing passage. At least, it changed mine. St. Paul writes, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." That I may know him. Last week, we looked at how St. Paul dealt with personal differences within the church at Philippi, how he urged his readers to have the same mind in them as in Christ Jesus. In other words, not to think of their own interests, but to think of each other's interests. Nevertheless, while there were personal conflicts within the church, there don't seem to have been theological problems and divisions. St. Paul's experience, however, was that there were those who were determined to create theological division within his churches. And they did this by challenging St. Paul's understanding of the gospel. And these opponents of St. Paul came principally from the Jewish wing in the church. They were Jewish believers. They felt that St. Paul was wrong about God's law and the role it ought to play in a believer's life. Their position wasn't, in fact, that revolutionary. What they advocated was that if you believed in God's Messiah, Jesus, you should keep God's law. St. Paul, however, feels that this is wrong. And he is concerned that if these opponents of his find their way to the church in Philippi, they're going to cause division and confusion amongst the believers. So he wants to warn the Philippians in advance, and to do so, he expresses himself strongly. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the mutilation, he writes. I said last week that it was amazing that St. Paul, a devout Jew, could write about Jesus in the exalted way he does. It is also amazing that St. Paul can talk about his opponents in the way he does. Because St. Paul, until he met Christ, had been advocating the very things that he criticizes his opponents for advocating. One of the central commandments in God's law is the commandment to men to be circumcised. God said to Abraham that a person could not be a member of the people of God unless, if they were male, they were circumcised. And yet St. Paul here in this passage describes those who advocate circumcision as the mutilation. Instead, St. Paul writes, it is we who are the people of God, who worship in the Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. The flesh, of course, refers firstly to this physical stuff of which we are made, and also to our nature as humans, to ourself, to our identity as people and individuals. Circumcision, as far as St. Paul is concerned, was a mark in the physical flesh that symbolizes our confidence in ourselves. And certainly, Paul's Jewish opponents were proud of their Jewish heritage. St. Paul dismisses it. Now, the obvious response is to say that the reason St. Paul dismisses all this is because he has got nothing to be proud of. And that's exactly what St. Paul's opponents did say of him. They accused him of being physically unimpressive and inferior to the apostles in Jerusalem. And in the passage today, he responds directly to this criticism. He says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews." When it comes to the law, he says, "I was a Pharisee, a member of the most strict sect of the nation. As to standing up for Judaism, I was a persecutor of the church. When it came to righteousness by the law, to doing what the law requires, I was blameless." In other words, he had done everything, achieved everything that his opponents valued and advocated. But here's the thing, says St. Paul, "Whatever was gain to me, I now count loss for the sake of Christ." St. Paul counts all things loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Well, this could just be well-meaning words, of course, and it could be, he could be accused, St. Paul, of mere rhetoric. Except St. Paul really had lost everything. He was in prison. He'd even lost his freedom. And so St. Paul utters these amazing words, "That I may know him." St. Paul could boast of all his opponents thought important, but he's given them all up, not reluctantly, but gladly. Because as far as St. Paul is concerned, nothing compares to knowing Christ. Even so, he writes, he hasn't yet obtained all he wants to obtain. He presses on, looking forward to what God promises him. He tells the Philippian believers that they are to see him as their role model and to follow his example. Knowing Christ now, they are to press on and look forward to all that God has for them in the future. So, three things. Firstly, losing all things for Christ. St. Paul had lost everything. And as I've said, he was in prison when he writes his letter to the Philippians. It's important to make a distinction here. There are some things that it is necessary for us to lose when we come to Christ, either because they're bad in themselves or because they're bad for us. Killing, stealing, lying are bad in themselves. Gambling, drinking, and arguing can be bad for us. But other things are not necessarily bad or bad for us, but we still have to be prepared to lose them if that is what God wants. St. Paul judges all things in relation to Christ. Things are only valuable compared to their value in Christ. We need to see things in the light of Christ. And seen in this light, things that we previously thought as valuable can suddenly be seen as much less valuable. Perhaps not as valueless as St. Paul writes, but certainly less valuable than sometimes we take them to be. We are called to value things differently, and this can be hard for us. I was watching something the other day about three young women who wanted to become nuns, and in the clip I was watching, some nuns, people who were nuns, young women who were already nuns, were filmed going into a school to talk to the teenagers about what life as a nun was like. And they describe to the teenagers how they'd taken three vows, poverty, chastity, and obedience,
these young women had literally given up all things. What do you think the teenagers found hardest to believe they had given up? What was the hardest thing in their mind to give up? It was their phones. Their phones. First on the list was phones. Then afterwards it shows a group of girls. The class was mixed, but afterwards it shows a group of girls, and they were talking about what they would hate most about being a nun. Do you know what the girls hated most in their minds about being a nun? Not being able to wear makeup. I don't know, ladies, if you would feel the same, but it's interesting, isn't it, what they valued. There are things that each of us value, our favorite things, which can be at one level quite trivial. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, things which we're emotionally attached to and which we would hate losing. St. Paul challenges us to ask, what would we find most difficult to give up if Christ asked us to? So secondly, gaining Christ. It's important to see that we are not called to give up things for the sake of it. Most of the time, we're not called to give up anything in any case. What St. Paul is concerned is not so much about whether we give things up or not, but the value that we place on things compared to how we see our relationship with Christ. St. Paul can give up things because gaining Christ was the most important thing. People will often make sacrifices for things that they believe in, but that's not what St. Paul is talking about here. St. Paul is concerned not so much about what we believe, but the person we know. What are we prepared to do for our relationship with Christ? How important is our relationship with Christ? It's very easy for things to dominate our lives and occupy a central place in them. St. Paul challenges us to make Christ and knowing Christ the center of our lives. It's always going to be hard to give things up if we have no relationship with Christ. And if our faith stays at the level of a philosophy of life or a code of ethics, we will never understand what St. Paul is talking about. When, however, we see our faith as being about a relationship with Christ, who is the source of all life, that our life will take on a new perspective. So finally, this morning, forgetting what is behind. While we know Christ now, or can know Christ now in this life, we know him now as human beings, as mortals who one day will die. St. Paul hopes for the resurrection of the dead, that after death he will be raised from death, because he wants to live with Christ eternally. And this is the goal that he's pressing toward and looking forward to. And he wants the Philippian believers and us to do the same. It is hard to look forward if we're always looking back. St. Paul writes that in reaching forward to what lies ahead, he forgets what lies behind. Some people have difficulties in remembering things, either because they've got a bad memory or, more seriously, because they suffer from a terrible illness like Alzheimer's. Others of us, however, have difficulty forgetting the wrong we have done and the guilt we feel, forgetting the harm or the injury done to us in the past, forgetting opportunities that we've missed or have been denied to us. Life is full of if-onlys. If only that hadn't happened to me. If only that wasn't something that had been done to me. If only I'd been given the opportunity or taken my chance when I had it. If only. It's impossible to forget, if by forget we mean erase all memory. St. Paul doesn't forget everything in that sense. He talks about how he was a persecutor of the church. But we can let go of the memory. We can let go of the guilt, regret, resentment that we feel. Let go of all that might have been and focus instead on all that we have in Christ, the surpassing value of knowing Christ. And we can press forward to all that lies ahead. We all have things we need to break free from. We need to be released from those things which hold us back and prevent us from pressing on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. And so, we are to forget the past, hold on to what we have attained in Christ, and look forward with hope to all that God promises to those who are faithful to him. May Christ grant us the strength to do so. Amen.